Miss Dip. Last week. Looking forward to another good week. Looks like we got a little bit of a cold front blowing through there. So I'm kind of wondering myself when fall is going to get here. We're in fall right now, but it doesn't feel like it, or at least it didn't last week. But we thank the Lord for all that He's given to us. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we're on the last chapter of the book of 1 John. Been there for a few weeks now. It's good to get a different perspective or another perspective about Christianity and about the Lord and different things that were going on from John, 1 John, and 1 John. Well, we're going to read the first five verses of 1 John chapter 5. The first five verses. We notice in these words, or in these verses, we see the word overcometh quite a bit. And so that's what I want to preach to you on this evening, is about being an overcomer. And it's not going to become, it won't be as any surprise about how we are going to overcome. It's going to be through Jesus Christ. So the title of the message is Victory in Jesus. We get our victory in Jesus Christ. And we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. But we want to look at being an overcomer this evening. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings upon us. We thank You that You have allowed us to be here this evening. We thank You for brothers and sisters of like-minded faith who have come together. Father, we pray that, Lord, You would speak to us this evening from Your Word. We pray that You'd help us to be strengthened in the faith and built up in the faith. I pray that You'd allow me to say things that are necessary and needful, that You'd bring to my mind and thoughts and words that need to be said, and I pray that You would block out any distractions in our minds and in our audience here this evening, and that we'd just be focused for the next few minutes on what You'd have for us. And I pray that You'd receive all the praise and the honor and the glory. I don't want any of the glory, Lord, none of us here do. I pray that You would get it all this evening, and we'll thank You for it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1, another whosoever statement, you find those, that word whosoever many times. Of course, you find it in the book of John, but it starts out whosoever. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not over the top. God does not ask us to do something that is outrageous or something that we shouldn't do. They are altogether righteous and good, His commandments are. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So we see that our victory and our overcoming is found in our faith in Jesus Christ. And he says that we overcome the world. Well, he's talking about the world system there, the way that the world operates, the way that the world thinks, the belief system of the world. The world has a king, a leader, and that would be the devil. The devil leads the world system. He's the one that guides and leads the whole thing. And they have a belief system there. And so Christians must overcome the world. We can't belong to the same world system that we were before we got saved. We are called out of the world. We can't have the same thought process, the same belief system, the same values, whatever you want to call it. We have a different leader. We have a different king, Jesus Christ. Right. And so we can overcome by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, John calls us overcomers. There's many labels that are put on Christians in the Bible. One of those is children of God, Christians, believers, disciples, many different things that we are called, but John calls us overcomers. And John, in the book of 1 John, calls Christians overcomers because of what they are facing at the time that John writes this book here. They were facing the onslaught, as I've already told you before, of Gnosticism, of persecution, of unbelief, of false teachers, of attacks on the gospel, all of these things. And we're right at the beginning of church history. Jesus Christ died probably approximately, 60 years before this was written or something like that. But we're right at the launching point for church history. And already there are false teachers that are popping up and cropping up, and they're trying to pervert Christianity and pervert the gospel. And John has to write these books in order to lead and to guide the Christians that are believing in his day. And it's no different today. I mean, there's still the false teachers, and there's still the false prophets, and there's still those that are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ and pervert our minds and get us away from Jesus Christ and get us away from the Bible, get us away from the gospel. And we must be rooted and grounded and built up in the faith as Christians and as believers. Now, we are overcomers. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are already an overcomer, because that's how we become overcomers. We're not overcomers because we're just special people. We're not overcomers because we got those big, strong spiritual muscles and we just muscled our way right through everything and we were able to just accomplish it. That's not how it is. No, it is because of our Savior Jesus Christ that we are overcomers. Now, John has already mentioned one of our enemies here. We've got hurdles in front of us. We've got problems and obstacles in front of us every day, don't we? He's already mentioned the world. That's one of our enemies, the world. One of those things is the world, and we are overcomers over the world through Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 16 and verse number 33, he says that in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we can overcome the world because we got a strong Savior, because we got somebody who fights on our behalf, someone who is our strength, someone who is our life, someone who is there for us, and we are overcomers over the world. We got the flesh. Well, this old flesh hangs on us, and this old flesh is against us. The flesh is against God. The flesh is against the Bible. The flesh is against the Holy Spirit. The flesh is against all of the things that are righteous and pure and holy. Your flesh has a mind of its own. It wants to do wrong things, wants to sin against God, wants to rebel against God. But we can overcome that flesh through the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." We got something that can combat those sinful desires that crop up in us, and that's called the Holy Spirit of God. We can fight against that. We can use the sword of the Spirit to go against the deeds of the flesh, and we can be overcomers over that old flesh. It doesn't have to rule over us. As a matter of fact, it should not rule over us. It must not rule over us. Jesus Christ ought to be the one that should rule over us. So we got the world that is against us. World's against God. We got the flesh that is against us. Wants to drag us down, and then we have the devil. The devil is against us. The devil is anti-God. The devil is anti-Bible, and we are overcomers over the devil through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. John the Apostle said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 13, we've already went through this verse, but he says, "I write unto you young men because ye have overcome that wicked one." How do we overcome the devil? Not through our strength. Nobody should try to take on the devil in their own strength. The devil will win every time. Devil's a lot more wise than you and I are. Devil's been around a lot longer than you and I have, and there's no way that you and I can overcome the devil in our own strength. As a matter of fact, God talks about the devil in the last part of the book of Job and says, you don't want to go up against the devil. He's a fearsome beast. He'll tear you apart. He'll ruin your life. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we don't want to go up against the devil. We got enemies. And we can be overcomers, and we are overcomers. Now, what about us as overcomers? What do we look like? Well, what are the aspects of being an overcomer? Well, I want to put it in three categories here before we start here this evening. The first one is a theological aspect of being an overcomer. You got to believe something. It's in your head. It's in your heart. You must believe something. It's internal. You must believe the gospel. It's a theological aspect. You got to believe something. And then there is the moral aspect. You have to behave in a certain way. No one is an overcomer that doesn't behave in a certain way. It's a vertical aspect. It's an aspect that is between you and God, up and down this way. You got the internal aspect, you got the vertical aspect, and then you have the social aspect. That's between you and your fellow man. No one is an overcomer if they don't have a good relationship with their fellow man. So there's those three categories that we can put that in. So what does it take to become an overcomer? What does it take? John tells us in verse number 1, he says, "He that is born of God is an overcomer." You have to be born again. You have to be born of God. You can't just be any regular Joe who's only had the first birth and not the second birth. No one is an overcomer without the second birth, so you must be an overcomer. Now, how do we know that we are overcomers? This is something that characterizes those who are overcomers. Now, John wrote the book so that we can know things, and that's the whole nature of the book of 1 John, is so that we can know things. So he's not going to leave us hanging. He's not going to make us wonder, well, I wonder what an overcomer looks like. Is it like Superman in the comic books? Is it like Batman? Because that might be an American fascination or something that would conjure up in our minds about what an overcomer is. No, we can tell the difference between a true and a false overcomer. What is it? Well, I want to give you three marks tonight of an overcomer. Those who have victory in Jesus Christ. Number one, those who are overcomers have faith. They have faith. The first mark that we see is theological. In nature, you have to believe something. You must believe something. We find that in verse number 1. He says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." You got to believe in something. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5 tells us again, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" No one is able to overcome the world apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Cannot be done. The very first aspect that must be true of an overcomer is you believe something. You must believe something. Why? Because we can't overcome the world. We can't overcome the devil. We can't overcome our own sin on our own. Read the scriptures. No one ever overcame their own sin or the world or the devil apart from faith. They had to have faith. Why is it faith in Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is a lot stronger than we are. He's the greatest. You remember Muhammad Ali used to say, "I'm the greatest." But no, it's Jesus Christ. He's the greatest. And so we must have faith in Jesus Christ, but it's got to be a particular kind of faith. We can't just have faith that, well, Jesus was a good person. No, it has to be faith in a particular set of facts about Jesus Christ. We must have faith in the gospel, faith in the truth about Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done. You must believe the gospel. Now, who's Jesus Christ? Well, we learned about that this morning. Jesus Christ is the one that God sent to pay for your sins and for my sins. He's the man from heaven. He's God incarnate. That's who Jesus Christ is. And so if we're going to be born of God and we're going to be an overcomer, it's got to be a something specific that we must believe in. It's not just a vague faith. It's not just some kind of casual thing. Well, you know, I believe in God and I believe in this and I believe in that. I believe that Jesus Christ was a good teacher and I believe all these things. No, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord over all? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh? Because if you don't believe those things, you're not going to be an overcomer. We can't overcome those things without faith in the gospel, because that is necessary. It's necessary. Can I tell you something here this evening? Before you believe the good news, you got to believe the bad news. You got to believe the bad news. Because if you don't believe the bad news, chances are you're not a candidate to believe the good news. You must believe the bad news. What's the bad news? Well, the bad news is that we are lost and undone and incapable of saving ourselves, and we are dead in trespasses and in sins, and we are under the wrath of a holy and a righteous God. That is the bad news. And that's the truth for every person that is born into this world. And if you and I don't believe in the bad news, there's no use in you trying to believe the good news, because it's not for you. Here comes Jesus Christ, and he comes to this earth, and he comes to people, and he goes and eats with the publicans and the Pharisees and prostitutes and all of these people. And the Pharisees, he didn't go to eat with the Pharisees, he goes to eat with the prostitutes and the publicans and the sinners and all of those things, all those different kinds of people. And there are the Pharisees, and they see Jesus Christ go and eat with those kinds of people. And he says, why do you and your disciples, they tell Jesus, why do you and your disciples, why do they eat with those sinners? Why are they eating with the publicans and the prostitutes and all of those different kinds of people? Why? He says, those that are whole don't need a physician, those that are sick. I came not to call the righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't come to call those self-righteous Pharisees. You know why? Because they wouldn't believe the bad news about themselves. It was staring them in their face. He says, I didn't come to call you. I came to call those that would believe the bad news first. The bad news is, the good news is only for those who will believe the bad news. We must believe the good news if we want to be an overcomer. You and I can't overcome sin. We can't overcome the world. We can't overcome the flesh. And we can't overcome the devil if we believe that we are righteous in and of ourselves and we have the power to approach a holy and a righteous God. We can't be an overcomer. We can't be an overcomer if we are simultaneously a part of the world and the world system. We can't be an overcomer if we believe like the world, if we think like the world, if we act like the world. We can't be an overcomer that way. God has called us out of that, and we can't be an overcomer if we're still following the devil and his prescription for what life is. It's impossible. No way. You got to be called out of that. You know what Jesus does? He saves sinners. He saves sinners. And he calls us out of our sin. He calls us out of our unrighteousness. He calls us out of the wicked, ungodly habits that we had. And he changes us around. And he moves us to a different kingdom. He transforms us and translates us out of that kingdom. And we must have faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the righteous one. He is the one that's alive right now. He is the one that is making intercession for us. That's why we must believe in Jesus Christ. We must believe in Jesus Christ because he is Lord over all, and he has all authority and all power, and it's been given to him. Now, if we don't put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen the next time that we sin or we do something bad or we do something we shouldn't do? You know what's going to happen? It's going to overtake us. It's going to overtake us because we have no place to go. We don't have a place to go where we can find renewal. We don't have a place where we can go where we can find forgiveness. We don't have a place where we can go where we can confess our sins. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, the only thing that you can do and I can do is just mourn. That's all that we can do. And we'll give up and throw up our hands and we'll be overcome by all of that sin and all of that unrighteousness. We don't have to throw in the towel. We can keep on going. We can stand firm. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is the authority of our lives now. You know what that does? Well, that changes our life, doesn't it? Boy, I can't be doing the same things I used to do. I can't be living the same way I used to live. I can't be lying and cheating and stealing and doing all those things. Why? I got a Lord over my life that is governing my life, and I got faith in Him. You don't let the world overcome us because of Jesus Christ. You got to have faith. You got to believe in something. The power of sin and the devil is broken through our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first mark of an overcomer. Theological. You must believe in something. You must believe in Jesus Christ. He is Lord over all. But those who are overcomers also love. They also love. They got a social mark. There's something about an overcomer. They love. They love. We find that in verses 1 and 2. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. What does it mean, begat? Everyone loveth him that begat. You know who begat? God begat. God begat. And he's talking about a new birth there. He's saying, everyone that loves him that begat. Don't you love the God that has begotten you? Don't you love your Heavenly Father? He's the one that's begotten you. You couldn't have gotten the new birth by yourself if you tried all day and all night for the next 50, 60, 70, 100 years. Not by a long shot. But there's God, and He gave you a new birth. And we love that God that gave us that new birth. And if we love Him that begat us, that gave us that new birth, and you know what else is true? We love the ones that are begotten of Him too. Well, you know what that means? I mean, you got some brothers and sisters in Christ, and hey, I love those brothers and sisters in Christ. That's part of being an overcomer. Loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. God has brought forth new spiritual life into your heart. You know what? And do you know what's true about that as well? Man, I got a new family. You got new friends. You got new people that you hang around. You don't have nothing in common with those people that you used to hang around with, those people that you used to get drunk with, those people that you used to go to the bar with, those people that you used to fornicate with. You got a new life. Yes, sir. You got a new life in Christ. And you got new friends. You know those people over at church? Those people that are saved? I love them. I love them. How do you think that came about? How do you think that came about? Accidentally? Accidentally? That you thought, well, I believe that I'll just go on down to church, make myself some new friends. I didn't used to like them. I used to like going to the bar. I used to like to get high and all of those things. But now I've got some good, clean friends. Friends that love Jesus Christ. You know, I love my sisters and my brother and my mom and my dad. Why do I love them? There's a blood bond there. There's nothing that had to happen specifically. I was just growing up. I had a family, and I love my mom and dad and my family, cousins, uncles, aunts, all of those people. I just love them. Why? Because there's just something in me that wants to love those people. And the same goes for your Christian family. Boy, there's just something about it, man. I just love those people. That's the mark of an overcomer. Now, why do we have to love each other? Why? What's the point? What's the point? You can't keep a relationship together without love. You most certainly can't. We come together. We got a family here. We got a good group of people here. But you know what? We are full of imperfect people that got a lot of baggage. We are full of people who carry lots of burdens and lots of problems. Yeah, that's all of us. I can raise my hand too. I'm not perfect either. And you know what it's going to take to keep us together and to keep us unified and to keep us as a happy family? Love. Love. What's kept the church together for the last 2,000 years? What's kept us unified and what's kept us from going out of existence? It's been love. Love has held us together. That's the only thing that's held the body of Christ together. And the only way that the church is going to survive is through love. You know why? love is the distinguishing characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Amen. It's love. It's love. The Holy Spirit has bonded us together. He's poured His love into each and every one of us, and now we manifest that love to each other. And we can stay together. Paul the Apostle tells the church at Colossae, as the chosen people of God, we must put on, like a clothing, certain qualities. He tells us in Colossians chapter 3, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. He tells us to do a lot of things there. He tells us to have mercy. He tells us to have kindness. He tells us to have humility. He tells us to have meekness and patience and forbearance and forgiveness. He tells us to do all of those things. And you know what bonds all those things together? Ties them all up like a bundle. And can't be true without this thing. It's charity. It's charity. You can't be meek without charity. You can't have forgiveness without love. You can't have meekness. You can't have humility without love. Love is the principal thing. You got to have love. And he's talking to the church at Colossae, and I guarantee you, they're a bunch of sinners like we are. And they got problems in their church just like we do. And the only thing that Paul told them, the only thing that's going to hold you together is love. You must have love. You must have love. We got to go on and on. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. Again, he tells them to have love. Apostle Peter writing to his audience in 1 Peter. They're going through persecution. They're going through trials. They're going through troubles. They're going through all kinds of things. And he said, you know what you need to do? He says, have fervent charity amongst yourself, for love will cover a multitude of sins. How are we going to keep going, church? How are we going to keep our brothers and sisters close to us? It's through love. You know, we live in a terrible time, in my estimation. In this country, right now today, we live in the most divided time. It gets worse and worse, it seems like to me, even amongst Christians. Not counting the political part of it. Even amongst Christians, we live in the most divided time that I have ever seen. And I'm just a young man, I understand. But man, it just seems like it gets worse and worse. And Christians are dividing up. They can't stay together anymore. Why? There's a lack of love. There's a lack of love. And I know that I can do better, and I know that you can do better in your love, and we must have love if we're going to overcome. If we're going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, we must have love. It must be there. We can't make it without love. Love is a mark of an overcomer. But not only is love a mark of an overcomer, we must be in obedience to God. This keeps on coming up over and over and over again in John's letter. Obedience. No one is an overcomer without obedience. It's impossible. It's impossible. There is a moral mark to an overcomer. He says in verse 2 and 3, by this shall we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. He says that we must love God and keep His commandments. Overcomers have a moral mark. Those who overcome obey the Word of God. That's what overcomers do. Can I tell you something here this evening? Overcomers are not rebels. They're not rebels. Only in Hollywood. You watch your favorite movie, most of the rebels are going to be the heroes many times. But that's not true in the real world. In the real world, rebels, they lose in the end. Amen. They don't win in the end. And every time God says, you have to obey my commandments, you must obey my commandments. Overcomers do not break all the rules. Overcomers don't blaze their own trail. Overcomers are not like that. No, overcomers obey God humbly and cheerfully. That's what they do. And the Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. That means they are not too weighty, they are not too burdensome, and they are not grave. They ain't too heavy. And they are especially not too heavy for those who love God and those who have Christ on their side. Did you know that the reason that we can obey the commandments of God and that we want to obey the commandments of God is because we have Jesus Christ? That's why. Now, Paul the Apostle speaks about those who were in the flesh in Romans chapter number 8, and he says they got a carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death, but be spiritually minded is life and peace. And he says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't. You know why? The way they think. The way they think. They don't want to please God. They have the mindset for it. Do you know why we can obey God and we can please God? Because of the Spirit. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of who we have on our side. And so the commandment that we have is no longer a burden. Now, a lost person probably would think they're burdened. They wouldn't want to obey God. There's a bunch of rules and regulations. I don't want to obey that kind of stuff. But we have all of the help that we need to be holy and righteous in the person of Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ calls out to people, and he says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart." He says, come on, I'll help you. I'll get in the yoke with you. I'll pull with you. I'll help you. I'm here to help you. And we have all the help that we need, and we can obey. But rebels against God, they don't ever win. They don't ever win. We read about the first rebel in the Bible. His name is Cain. He rebelled against God. God said, you need to bring a lamb for a sacrifice. And he brought the fruit of the ground. That's his first rebellious move right there. And then he gets angry and he rebels against God again. And he kills his brother, Abel, and then tries to cover it up. And then God questions him about it. And then he rebels again and lies about it. Why? Because he's a rebel. He's a rebel against God. And God said, you are cursed. You are cursed, Cain. And the ground is cursed for your sake, and it's not going to bring forth any more fruit for you, and you're going to be a vagabond and a fugitive from here on out. That's what you're going to be, Cain. He was not an overcomer. He wasn't. He was a rebel. I'll give you one more, Esau. Esau. The Bible says that Esau was a fornicator and a profane person, and for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. He sold his birthright. He didn't overcome. The Bible says that, boy, he wanted that blessing back. He wanted to get it, but he couldn't get it. He came and he was crying. He wanted that inheritance back. And he wasn't an overcomer. You know what the last thing we hear about Esau? He's crying. He's crying about getting his birthright. And all of his descendants ended up being rebels against God's people and rebels against God. And he was not an overcomer. You know why? Because the mark of an overcomer is obedience. It's obedience. We must be obedient if we're going to be an overcomer. Overcomers have certain qualities about him. They believe in Christ. They love God and they love others and they obey the commandments of God. And we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you and I can have victory. There is no other way. Following Christ, believing in Christ, that's all we have as Christians. I don't have some kind of magic formula for you. I don't have a 10-step program. I don't have a bunch of points where if you do this, 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 and this, and give you a long list of things to do. No, just trust in Christ. Just trust in Christ. He's the foundation of our faith. He's the foundation of our salvation. And as I live the Christian life, I want to continue to walk in grace. I want to continue in that. I want to continue to grow in grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is my strength. Jesus Christ is my strength. And I want to continue to overcome through the grace of Jesus Christ. I want to continue. Now, if I take my eyes off of Christ, if I take my eyes off of Jesus Christ, I'm going to become overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're too strong. They're too strong. The world's got a strong pull. Got a strong pull. And we, none of us in this room, not one of us, is a match for any three of those things. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They'll ruin you. They'll ruin you. They'll take your life, they'll take your family, take your children, take your marriage, take your health, take everything that you got is what it'll do. And we can't mess with it. We can't mess with it. I only got one thing to say to you. Keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That's the only hope that you have. You have nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's all you have. So keep your eyes on Him. We are overcomers through Him. Let's pray. Heavenly